God's word speaks to us this morning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. And this is God's word to us this morning. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he left captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There ends God's word. This truly is the word of God. Well, congratulations, men, in your installation as to the offices of the church. You have a difficult task, but a rewarding task ahead of you. And to those who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we all have an awesome task in this world. Paul puts it this way: live lives worthy of the calling you have received. Live lives worthy of the calling you have received. Having been brought into a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ, now we must conduct ourselves in such a way that we live in accordance with the responsibilities and the blessings of that new relationship. Such virtues as the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit, together with such goals as living in unity and in the bonds of peace, we are expected in our lives because we have been redeemed and reconciled to imitate the one who truly is humble and gentle and patient and loving and so on and so forth. Now imagine the impact such a life, so lived, can have upon our world. I mean, lost and hurting people would be flowing into our churches like refugees fleeing a war-torn land. and imagine the presence of holiness in the midst of a world of sin and wickedness. And imagine the presence of peace in the midst of a world of alienation and estrangement. Imagine the presence of love in the midst of a world of hatred and anger and racism. Imagine a group of people able to reflect heaven's joy and heaven's hope in a world where depression, sorrow, and hopelessness abounds. It truly is an awesome task that Paul is asking us to do. Live lives worthy of our calling. You know, when we understand our calling and recognize our inability to accomplish this task, we see the significance of our Savior's ascension. To accomplish any task, it takes ability and tools. Now, to accomplish the task of being the body of Christ in this world, in a very hostile world, Paul writes, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That means that something has been given to every single individual here. And that's the grace of God. Grace apportioned by Christ to every individual, so that every individual may live a life worthy of his or her calling. That's the gift. And it will enable us to fulfill our task and meet the needs of our world. Now, the ability of Christ to give such gifts was made possible by this miraculous transition when Christ descended into the lower earthly region and then ascended higher than all the heavens. Paul just wanted us to stop and think for a moment. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the one who was born in a stable. And he is the one who walked the streets and dusty paths of Palestine. He is the one who stood on the pavement, dressed by Rome as a clown for all the world to laugh at and to scornfully mock. And he is the one who hung on the cross with his hands and his feet pierced with nails. Now, Paul found it impossible to consider the ascension of Jesus without first thinking about his descent. Consider our ties to the earth. I mean, we know the origin, our origin, for we are from the earth, because from the dust of the earth we were made. But Jesus' birth was a descent. The finite became the infinite became finite. God became God-man. So when our redemption had to be accomplished, when the battle with Satan had to be fought, when those who were held captives had to be freed, Jesus did not remain in heaven. He did not hold on to the glory that was his, the glory of heaven. Rather, as Paul says in Philippians, he emptied himself. He became a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. That's his battle armor, human flesh, with all of its weakness and susceptibility to pain and temptation and death. And with his human flesh, he did battle with Satan and sin and death, so that his footsteps tread the path of constant suffering until he reached the crown of Calvary. And on that cross, he endured the curse of the law that we deserved. He felt the sting of death and the shame of the grave that was ours to feel. But death and grave could not hold him captive. He arose, conquered, and by so doing, he destroyed Satan's weapon of death and bound that terrible evil worker with his own bonds, freeing those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2. Now here is where Paul's quotation from Psalm 68 becomes alive for us. You see, the psalmist presents the King Messiah in his triumphant parade. Having won the battle, the king ties up all of his captives and then leads them in a procession through the streets of the city. And the psalmist says he leads captivity captive. Then, laden with the spoils of his victory, he willingly and generously distributes all those spoils to his people so that they can live lives worthy of his kingdom. Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Our Lord's ascension is his victory parade. And we are to see behind him the sin that held us captive is now captive itself. And the evil and the wickedness that had assaulted him furiously, relentlessly, unmercifully is seen as captive now behind him. And the sin that could not and did not defile him as he passed through this sinful world unscathed by his temptations, scarred only by its violence, he remained obedient and thus continued to be the unblemished lamb. And that enables him to give the gift of righteousness to each one of us, his people. For the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Romans chapter 3. And that means that our world, our message to our world is this, and I quote, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's why it's so important for us to live lives worthy of our calling. So, many things have been captured by Christ. Death. Death, whose horror held us in fearful bondage. Death is no longer free to terrorize us anymore. Because you see, death is held captive by our victorious King. For 3 days, death had been able to hold Jesus in a tomb behind a large rock, sealed out by Rome's power. But with the power of the resurrection, Jesus snapped every fetter that bound him and turned and bound death with its own cords. So we're free. And with the same body that had descended to the lower earthly region, this resurrection and the life ascended with such absolute power and victory over death that every dying Christian can sing in the face of death and be assured of everlasting life. Diane Sawyer, reporter on Good Morning America, was interviewing a Mr. Bauer, who is a missionary. Mr. Bauer's wife of 19 years, an infant child of 7 months old, had died tragically because their airplane had been shot down. Diane Sawyer asked Mr. Bauer about a God who would allow such a tragedy to occur and the seemingly uselessness of his loved one's death. Mr. Bauer responded by saying, "Well, if you believe that earth is all there is, then yes, that would be true. But I believe," he said, "that their life has just begun. Eternity is theirs. And they live in perfection and joy. Grace given to each one, apportioned by Christ. Grace to be able to say and proclaim good news in the midst of such despair. God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." The world still stands in great fear of death. But those in Christ know that it has been defeated because Jesus is indeed the resurrection and the life. And then there is Satan, the devil. You see him behind the triumphant Christ, bound, captive. Bound and captive. So let us laugh at him with a laughter of "I told you so," with a laughter of joy and luscious freedom that is ours. For Satan thought he had the victory, but now he is the one that is bound. This prince of error, this prince of darkness, is no longer free to do his thing. He's no longer able to promise us the world. For you see, his destiny is the pit, the eternal pit of fire and sulfur. Satan has been utterly defeated together with all of his angels by our Christ. And now, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4. You have to understand everything that held us in captivity is now a captive of Christ. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross, Colossians chapter 2. So now that he is so exalted and so glorious and so richly endowed with authority, he is able to give the gifts that would enable us to live lives worthy of our call. That's the important aspect of Christ's ascension. And enabled him because he went victoriously to give gifts to each one of us, each one of us, so that we can be his body in this world. I don't want to hear anyone say that they have no useful gift, because that would be to deny the ascension of Jesus. If our Lord, if our Christ is Lord, and he is sitting there on the throne as we celebrate today, then you have to understand that you have received something from the spoils of his victory. That promise will enable these men to fulfill the responsibilities of their office in this church. But it's also been given to each one of us to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we all become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. May God help us. And thank you, Jesus, for the gifts. Let's pray. The church kind of ignores the great event of our Savior's life, and that is his ascension. But Paul brings us back to the truth and importance of this great event. So thank you, Father, for opening the scripture to us this morning to see that Jesus did battle with the Satan and death and sin in the human flesh that he took as he descended to the earth. But he gained victory, and so that we, your people, have been redeemed. Thank you, Father. And may we truly live lives worthy of our calling with the help and indwelling of your Spirit.